The House State Affairs Committee will come to order at 5 minutes after eight. Today we'll be hearing HJR 22, denouncing the sale of the quote rapist doll, and HB 237, removing a region. And I'd like to acknowledge that we have present with us today Andrea Dahl, Representative Dahl, Representative Max Grunberg, Representative Kyle Johansson, Representative Bob Roses, myself, Bob Lynn, and I know that, I've seen Representative Johnson in the building here. So again, good morning. Before I begin, we had, I guess a couple of weeks ago now, we had a hearing on HJR 6 on whether or not a Attorney General should be elected or not. We had some great testimony, I thought, doing that. One of the people I really enjoyed hearing, well, we heard from Charlie Cole and Bruce Patella, both are previous Attorney Generals. Former Attorney General Cole had expressed some concern that somebody may have thought he was expressing criticism in some way of Governor Hickel when he worked for him, and that was absolutely not the case. He was just and he wanted me to mention that on the record, so I am. He had nothing but the highest regard for Governor Hickel and his relationship during his tenure of office with Governor Hickel. So I want to put that on the record. And we have been joined by Representative Grunberg, Representative Coghill. And so with that, we're going to go first to Representative Johnson just came. Welcome, Representative Johnson. And first, we're going to go to HJR number 22, which is a resolution denouncing the National Entertainment Collectibles Association production of the Rapist One collectible doll. And would you please come forward? And congratulations on filing this resolution. And if you don't know why I sent this resolution, I hope that cleared that up. So would you please present it, and I have a couple comments after that.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Morning.
And committee members. My name is Representative Fairclough, and today I bring to you, I hope, something that you can join me in supporting, a resolution denouncing the National Entertainment Collectible Association production of the Rapist Number One collectible doll. As you've heard me speak before, rape in the state of Alaska has had the dishonorable distinction of being number one in the nation for 20 out of the last 27 years, and in the top five for 27 out of the last 27 years. It is not a light issue that should be taken with a smile on our face, nor tongue-in-cheek, as this particular doll seems to think is appropriate. I cannot believe and am horrified that a toy manufacturer would put on the market on internet a collectible set that you can get on sale at 8% reduced for $35.98. and think that that's all right to do. And so there's not a lot to say about it. Rape is a large issue for Alaska. It is a large issue for this nation, and I believe that enough is enough on this particular status. I worked for 4 years as the executive director of Standing Together Against Rape, and one of the criteria that we look to in reducing the amount of violence that happens in our state is social change. And somewhere, someone needs to take a stand, and I certainly am not trying to violate anybody's constitutional right for freedom of speech, but ask Alaskans and this legislature to stand together and denounce the sale of products with this kind of vocabulary and this kind of message to our children. I believe in some of the literature it says this doll is suitable for three and up. Is not agreeable with this parent of two teenage boys, and it certainly is not agreeable to this legislature. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I just had a comment. Not only not suitable for three and up, it's not suitable for 0 to 100. It's totally inappropriate, and I feel very strongly about this. We put this to the head of the list in this committee because of the importance of it. Matter of fact, I even did a blog on it. I do have a blog, and one of the, I did not post a picture of the doll because I did not want to advertise it any further than already being advertised. But one of the things that really struck me, not only does it glorify rape, but this doll figure is wearing a military combat uniform. And this would establish a connection between rapist and the military, and I find that totally abhorrent, in addition to the even more abhorrent practice of having a doll in the first place. Any questions for Representative Faircloth?
I just had a couple, just one question. Just stylistically, it's a really good resolution.
Could you speak a little louder, please?
Sure. On page 1, line 11 and 12, 1 out of 6 women and 1 out of 33 men, is that in Alaska or the United States?
I believe that's in the United States.
Okay. Every other warehouse has a reference to either Alaska or the United States, except for that one and the next one. The next one's kind of obvious. I think it's nationwide, but just if you have an opportunity to during the CS at some point. But other than that, it's a great resolution.
Thank you, sir. We'll research and double check to make sure it's the U.S. figure.
Which department in the United States would that be the Department of Commerce, United States Department of Commerce, that would be handling business practices? Anybody help me on that? I'm wondering if maybe the Secretary of Commerce, whoever that is, and if there's such a thing in the federal government, might be appropriate to have this sent to them also.
We'd be happy to add that as someone to send it to.
Yeah.
We have distributed out the press release to many members of the state of Alaska in an effort to address it on a national basis. I also serve this body in a capacity as on the National Sexual Resource Center Advisory Board, and I did send it to them so that they know the steps that we're taking, and so hopefully that will move it to national attention also, but we could send it to...
Very good. Any other questions? I do have a couple of people signed up on the line. We have Chris Ashenbrenner. Are you online, sir?
Chris is here.
You're here. Well, let me see if I have somebody online first. I'll call you in just a moment. At the Anchorage LIO, we have Shannon Bell. Are you with us, Ms. Bell?
Hi, yes, Mr. Chair, I am.
Mr. Bell, would you please give us your name and better than I did, and testify, please?
Certainly. Thank you. My name is Shannon R. Bell, and I'm here to testify in favor of House Joint Resolution 22, denouncing the National Entertainment Collectible Association's production of the Rapist Number 1 collectible doll.
Okay.
I am here in my capacity as a community educator for Standing Together Against Rape, or STAR, and as an aware and concerned citizen. STAR fights rape and supports survivors and their families 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, and we need your help. We already know that Alaska has been and continues to be the state with far and away the highest rate of sexual assault. But did you know that if we cut Alaska's rate of sexual assault in half, that we would still be the nation with, we would still be the state with the 12th highest rate? Did you know that Anchorage has the ninth highest rate of all cities in America? Do you know what city has the highest rate? It's Fairbanks. The Alaska legislature has an opportunity to go on record and say to the 1,800 people who called STAR's crisis line last year, we support you. STAR averages 50 new clients each and every month, and you can say to them, what happened to you is not a joke that can be made into a collectible toy without your community expressing its outrage. I recently spoke to a group who were discussing these grim statistics. Someone asked, why is Alaska's rate so high? Several theories were discussed, but no clear answers. In the end, I asked if it could be because we as a community allow it. My question was met with silence. Our attitudes shape our actions, and if we ever hope to reduce sexual assault rates in Alaska and rid ourselves of the stigma of being the perennial first in the nation, we need to speak up. We need to show that our community's attitude is that we will not tolerate the message this doll sends to Alaska's children and families and men and women. Worse, our silence could be taken as agreement that we condone making light of the epidemic of violence against women and girls, men and boys. Sexual assault is the most underreported violent crime in this country. And why wouldn't it be if our culture can market a rapist number one action figure and no one speaks against it? For the benefit of our sons and daughters, our significant others, our families and children, and countless others who suffer in silence in Alaska, please speak up. Support House Joint Resolution 22 and draw a line in the sand for everyone to see. Thank you for your time and to the sponsors of this joint resolution.
I thank you very much, Mr. Ballard. Those words were well spoken. You said Fairbanks is a top, is that the top city in Alaska for rape or top city in the nation?
Top city in the nation, sir.
That's even more astounding. Any questions for Mr. Shannon? Thank you very much, sir. I really appreciate your calling in. We have anybody else online? Okay. Chris Ashenbrenner, or would you come join us, please?
Good morning. Hi, I'm Chris Ashenbrenner. I'm the Interim Program Administrator for the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, the state agency that coordinates and provides funding for sexual assault and domestic violence agencies around the state. I just wanted to add my voice to what I hope will be hundreds of thousands and millions of people around the country and in Alaska, although hopefully not at this committee this morning, will to denounce this. This legislature has been really wonderful the last few years about getting really tough on sexual assault, which is great, and we support and thank you for that. But as Mr. Bell so eloquently spoke to, until we get to the roots of the violence on these issues, we're really just putting a Band-Aid on things and really not ever treating the symptoms. And so one of the ways we get to the roots is certainly to denounce these sorts of actions, these societal areas that seem to promote violence against women and children and of any sort. So this action by this legislature sends a great message that not only do we hold offenders accountable, but we want it stopped at the societal level. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want to ask either one of you, is this has been or is going to be communicated in any way to the toy distributors in Alaska and elsewhere so that they know about this? And tell them we hope they don't sell it?
Mr. Chairman, as soon as if it passes the House and the Senate is signed by the governor, we'll direct all those. I had heard that one of our toy stores was planning on selling the set. And then later saw an email. You know, you never can trust what the web is saying in its entirety. So I don't want to say any disparaging remarks about specific toy companies in the state of Alaska, but I would hope with all the attention that this is getting that wouldn't be part of their business marketing plan. But as soon as we have something signed and passed, we'll contact people are contacting right now, but as a legislature saying one pointed message, we'll contact then, but we'll contact before.
We do have to be careful of one thing. Whenever you get something like this, you can get a rebound effect where criticism of something actually spurs that activity among the sickos and the perverts out there, and I'm afraid that this could happen on that. So we had to be very cautious of that. Did someone else had a question or comment?
Mr. Chairman, could I follow up
yes,
on that?
Yes, please.
If this legislation passes and that doll goes into production, my intent is next to introduce a tax specifically on the doll for about $1,200 a piece for the cost of the SART exams for the women and men and boys and all people that have to experience rape. So it costs about $1,200 to the state of Alaska to respond to one rape. And so I think it's only befitting if we decide to sell the $35 action figure that we can have a tax on it for $1,200.
Reverend Farrell, I don't like taxes. I'm opposed to taxes, but I might change my mind on this one. Any other comments from the committee? I'd like to thank you very much for bringing this to our attention. Can I get a motion?
Mr. Chairman, could I? I'm sorry.
One more.
I have center stage on this important issue, and I just want one final comment for educational purposes. Inside of rape, there the perpetrator tends to objectify women, and that's why this is so insulting. When you objectify a person's body, you lose all respect, and you treat that person as an object. And so when people are committing violence against another person, in their mind, I believe that they're not feeling the violence because they've made it an object. It's like a pencil that they can break or do anything with. And so this denouncement for me is the root of a social change that needs to take place in how we glorify and objectify women's bodies. And I am not trying to diminish other people's productions or how they choose to sell their products, but objectifying people's bodies, whether it's an arm, a leg, a backside, whatever you do, just makes people less they just don't connect with the harm that they do to other people when you objectify things. And so with that, I'll be quiet. But it's an important issue. It sends a great message that this state is not going to put up with violence any longer. It also stands up for victims who have been harmed by perpetrators who discount their choice. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I don't want you to be quiet on this subject at all. I'm concerned that the subject we're discussing today and other areas similar to this, you know, the words we hear on a movie, what we see on TV, all manner of thing, is desensitizing. It's desensitizing all of us to what used to be, you know, words that I never heard before. My kids are hearing when they watch TV. It's just amazing. And I remember the movie Gone with the Wind. What Earl Flynn said, "Frank, my dear, I don't give a damn," and people were just outraged by that. And here I just said it on TV and so on because we become so desensitized to this stuff that's going on. It's a decline of civilization, to my mind.
Thanks, Mr.
Any other comment, Reverend Coggio?
Just to follow up on that, and I think first of all, I want to thank the sponsor for bringing it up. It actually highlighted an issue that I think needs to be dealt with in my area, up in Fairbanks area. So I like that. The fact is, when she says objectify, I just want to expand on that. You depersonalize somebody, and through our entertainment industry generally, we have done that. What we do is we make people objects rather than real people. And most of the things that we deal with, either in this committee or in the Judiciary Committee, is holding people accountable for not respecting people as they should be respected. And so this brings that to right up to the forefront, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. Any other comments? Reverend Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to thank you for bringing this forward. And I would never want to do anything that would slow this down. I think it's important. But I would encourage you to maybe the National Retail Association. And I think Walmart is the largest distributor of toys in the country. And I think something addressed personally to that organization would be advised, and I would encourage you to broaden this out a little more. I think more people need to see the message. So in your next committees or wherever this goes, if you'd entertain that, I'd appreciate it. But I support this, and
it goes to the floor.
And perhaps the Toys R Us also.
And Toys R Us. Either retailer, but Walmart is by far the largest, and they are very present in this state. So
I think there's also a National Toy Manufacturing Association, I think. Okay. With that, Representative Dahl.
I just want to thank you, Representative Fairclough, for doing this. And it's hard for me to comment on it because it's so deep. And the pain is so intense that it's hard to even verbalize something like this. But I know we can't just stay in the pain and stay in the sorrow. I know that we have to call for action and that every single person needs to feel that same pain and that same sorrow and desire to go forth and just stop this, making money, making profit on violence of any kind. So thank you very much for coming.
Mr. Chair.
Reverend Grunberg.
I think it's all been said, and I join with everybody and with you. We bring with us our past lives and experience when we come to the legislature. And I'm glad that you brought this passion with you. I think it's a very important thing, and I stand behind you. Thank you.
Anybody else? Thank you very much. I'll entertain a motion to move the bill. Representative Rosas, Vice Chair Rosas.
I would move that we pass House Joint Resolution Number 22. If any individual recommendations or any fiscal notes.
Thank you. And without objection, House Bill 22 passes, and I would invite other members of the committee to become co-sponsors of this bill at the very first opportunity. So take a short at ease while we do the paperwork. Committee, it will come to order. The next bill to consider is HB 237 for an act entitled an act authorizing the governor to remove or suspend a member of the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska for good cause, establishing a procedure with removal or suspension of a regent, and providing for an effective date. And this is a committee bill. And this, we all know how important the Board of Regents are in our university system. And Representative Grunberg brought the idea for this bill to my attention. And I joined with him in thinking that such a bill was needed, not necessarily for any current situations, but because, like the Boy Scouts, we need to be prepared for what eventuality might happen in the future. So I'm looking at this bill now as more of a be prepared bill for any situations that might happen between now and the end of time. So if any situation developing the Board of Regents, the governor, she has the right to appoint, it would seem to me he or she would have the right to suspend and of course to remove. And I'm sure Governor Grunberg would like to make a couple of comments. First, I'd like to ask Mike Barnhill, are you here with us? But would you please come forward and give us your comments on this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mike Barnhill, Department of Law.
Thank you for coming in, Rob.
Sure. First, I'd just like to express appreciation on behalf of the Department of Law and the administration for the committee's leadership in sponsoring this bill. And I am happy if the chair would like to step you through what this bill does.
Would you please do
and that? Address any questions the committee may have. We'll just start from the top. Basically, what this bill does is provide a procedure, a due process procedure for the governor to remove or suspend a University of Alaska regent in certain circumstances. Section 1 of the bill, in subsection A of a new statute, 1441-55, provides that the governor can remove a regent if there is good cause established. Yes.
Please excuse me. I, in my fervor here, forgot to see by adopting the CS for this, and so I would entertain a motion to adopt the CS for discussion purposes.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Reverend Grunberg. Somebody do it, please.
I'll move. If somebody will object for discussion.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Move and object for discussion purposes. That's CS 25-LS0839-C.
C.
Representative Rosas and all object.
For discussion purposes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I apologize. It's my oversight.
No problem. And Mr. Chair, with the CS now before the committee, what I'd like to do is explain the differences between the CS and the original bill as we step forward. Let's start with the title. The difference in the title is the removal of the section of the title providing for an effective date. This bill, the CS, has no effective date clause. The second difference is in Section 1 is new, and that sets forth a legislative findings and purpose section. In discussing this bill with Representative Grunberg and his staff, the thought was that it would be advisable, particularly in light of the constitutional issues that are at stake with this particular issue, to set forth findings and purpose. And essentially, the findings state that the legislature finds that the framers of the Alaska Constitution intended to insulate the University of Alaska from politics as much as possible, but not to immunize the university from appropriate oversight from both the legislative and executive branches. There are a couple other purposes. The legislature has delegated to the university the power for self-governance. And within that power of self-governance, the Board of Regents arguably has the authority to promulgate a bylaw providing for regent removal. It hasn't done so. But within this bill, the legislature creates a procedure for the governor to remove a regent in appropriate circumstances. The purposes of the bill are articulated on page 2 to clarify that the governor may not remove a University of Alaska regent without good cause, and we'll talk about what good cause is in a moment. Clarify that the governor may remove a regent with good cause. Prescribe a due process procedure under which the governor may remove a regent for good cause. Prescribe a due process procedure under which the governor may suspend a regent for good cause, in certain circumstances. And accomplish all of these purposes while continuing to insulate the university from politics. We step down to Section 2, which is in large part identical to Section 1 of the original committee bill, with one exception. I'll get to that in a moment. Subsection A provides the procedure, and that procedure is that before a governor may remove a board of regent, a regent from the Board of Regents, they have to provide a copy of the allegations providing the reasons for removal, an opportunity for a hearing, and at least 10 days notice. Subsection B sets forth that the governor shall file with the lieutenant governor a copy of all the allegations, the findings on the allegations, and a complete record of removal. And I should say, as an aside, that this procedure is not unprecedented in Alaska statutes. The original draft of this was copied from the procedure for removing a board member from the Workers' Compensation Appeal Commission, which was recently adopted by the legislature. It was the intention in drafting this to not to create something out of whole cloth, but to create a procedure that's familiar and understandable to the legislature. Subsection C provides a procedure for suspending a regent in certain circumstances, and suspension can happen when there's been an indictment involving a felony in any jurisdiction, a charge of a misdemeanor involving a crime of dishonesty, and allegations of nonfeasance in office. Let's talk about the definitions of good cause. A violation of the Executive Branch Ethics Act, a conviction of a felony in any jurisdiction, a conviction of a misdemeanor in any jurisdiction involving dishonesty, breach of trust, or the University of Alaska, or nonfeasance in office, including misconduct, inability to serve, neglect of duty, or incompetence. The procedure provides, this is new from the original committee bill, that the governor may delegate the conduct of the hearing to the Office of Administrative Hearings, but the governor would make the final decision. Let's see, I think that's basically it in terms of what this bill accomplishes and the differences between the CS and the bill. I'd be happy to discuss legal issues, constitutional issues at the committee's pleasure. And or answer any questions.
Would you discuss the difference between remove and suspend?
Sure. Remove can only be done if there's good cause. Suspend can be done if there's an indictment on a felony. And let me just direct your attention to page 2 of the CS, lines 26 through page 3, line 2. So the three basis for suspension are a criminal complaint, presentment, information, or indictment involving a felony. Number 2, information or formal criminal charges of a misdemeanor described in G3, which is a charge of a misdemeanor involving dishonesty, breach of trust, or involving the University of Alaska. And the third basis for suspension is allegations of nonfeasance. Nonfeasance is misconduct in office, inability to serve, neglect of duty, or incompetence.
And would the person in question have any recourse if the governor wished to suspend for one of those reasons?
Yes, they can request a hearing prior to the suspension, and they can request a hearing after the suspension.
And again, who would do the hearing?
The governor would do the hearing unless the governor delegates the hearing to the Office of Administrative Hearings.
Thank you. Any Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 2, line 30, what is an informal criminal charge of a misdemeanor?
It's information or formal criminal charge. Did you say informal?
I'm sorry, and I read it wrong. It's information?
Yes.
So what is an information? Explain that to me a little bit.
Through the chair, I am not a criminal attorney, but my understanding is that is the way
you don't mean criminal
a charge for a misdemeanor is brought, either through an information or a formal criminal charge.
If I could, so there would be some kind of charge. This is not just, if you say information, that just doesn't mean someone said, hey, the guy's a crook. I mean, we're not talking hearsay. This is a legal, and I might yield to the attorney on the committee.
Reverend Greenberg, can you enlighten us on what an information is?
An information or formal criminal charge? I'm a little fuzzy on what that is.
Yes. An information, well, normally in this state, if a person is charged with a felony, the case is normally taken to the grand jury, and the grand jury returns an indictment. However, there's an alternative method by which a person can be charged, and the same method I'm going to describe is used in charging a misdemeanor, and that is a criminal complaint which just summons somebody to court, or an information. The legal term is an information. And information is also a charge, and if you are charged with an information, then instead of taking the case to a grand jury, they'll have a preliminary hearing. And the standard is the same as before a grand jury, only it's an adversary hearing. The standard is whether the prosecution's evidence, taken alone and unrebutted, would be sufficient to support the charge. And sometimes they'll do that if it's an unusual case, if I may. An example occurred, a case I had many years ago when I practiced this. Two young men were driving by one of the used car lots on Fifth Avenue by Merrill Field. Somebody else was walking. A shot rang out from the car. It was a BB gun and the person was hit in the arm. It was clear that a crime was committed, but they couldn't tell which of the two people did it. And so they had a preliminary hearing. The charges were dismissed against both because there wasn't probable cause against either one.
But that was an information.
That was on an information. That's quite unusual, and normally it would go to the grand jury.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ron. I'm so happy to have an attorney on this committee.
I hope you have an attorney generally.
Well, hope springs eternal.
I'm kidding.
No. I'd have to vote to confirm you anyway. So, Representative Dahl.
Yes, I have a question on page one, the wording on that.
We're page one.
Yes, on page one, on line 13, where we have said that we've delegated to the Board of Regents the power to regulate itself, but I'm putting in the word since, but since the Board of Regents has not adopted self-government rules that authorize. I'm kind of concerned about that because it sounds like we're kind of doing a quick forward action here, preempting, and we're writing it actually into statute. Can you say something about that and maybe we'll later have follow-on discussion or questions about what the board itself is feeling about this?
Through the chair, Representative Dahl, nothing in this bill preempts any self-regulation by the university. The statute referenced there, 1440-170B1, if you take a look at that, is the statute that authorizes the Board of Regents to adopt regulations for the governance of both the university and the Board of Regents. So under that authority, the Regents could adopt any bylaw that it saw fit, providing for removal of a Regent. It hasn't done so. The point here is that the legislature has provided that authority for self-governance to the university. By the same token, the university can provide a procedure under which the governor may remove a Regent in an appropriate circumstance.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representing Coghill.
Mr. Chairman, and I agree that the actually the whole premise of the bill is that the legislature has the right to step in and make the rules. This bill recognizes that the governor gets to make the appointment and then bears some responsibility for that appointment. But under the section that we had just talked about under C on page 2, line 30, I know this goes to Judiciary Committee, so I'll do some further study into it, but you may have the answer right off the top of your head. This goes to the question of suspending. So if there's a cloud of a doubt of integrity, basically, is what this is saying. But couldn't this go to the same degree as just appearing before a court for a doggy fine, where you had your dog caught and had to go pay a fine before a court?
Through the chair, Representative Coghill, no. Again, this ties back to charges of a misdemeanor described under G3 of this section. You turn to page 3, lines 14 to 18, and it has to be a charge on a crime of a misdemeanor involving dishonesty. So failure to pay some fine is not a misdemeanor involving dishonesty, breach of trust, excuse me, or the University of Alaska. I think the notion here is that it's appropriate when a regent who's charged with a fiduciary obligation with respect to the university, that if they're charged with a crime involving dishonesty or breach of trust, to protect the university because they hold fiduciary powers and put them on suspension status. Really, it's no different than any state employee gets charged with something like this, to put them on administrative leave until the matter is resolved. So that's all the bill is seeking to do, is provide that interim procedure, both for the protection of the university and the protection of the state.
I know quite often if a police officer is involved in a shooting of some kind, they're placed on administrative leave or on suspension until it's investigated and some action is or is not taken. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I'd like to thank the governor and the Department of Law and you particularly. For the record, at my request, Mr. Barnhill did the research and basically the drafting of this, and that was at the request, I understand, of the Attorney General. And it's very carefully crafted. If the members would look, for example, at subsection E on page 3, that if there's a suspension, first of all, if there's a suspension, before the suspension takes place, the governor, the prosecution, bears the burden of proof that there's been a charge of a misdemeanor or whatever the grounds are. But once the suspension has taken place, if the regent wants to lift the suspension, the regent must show cause, which flips the burden around. It's like a show cause order of a contempt, and must show cause why the suspension should be lifted. And it's carefully crafted also with respect to removal, that the governor bears the burden of persuasion to remove the regent. And it's very carefully crafted from a constitutional point of view. And by the way, we've distributed a letter from the chief judge
of the Office of Administrative Hearings, indicating this is an appropriate type of a case to refer to them. But the governor retains the final authority and responsibility for making the decision.
Thank you. Any further questions? Representative Rosas?
I had some similar concerns that were brought up earlier regarding the misdemeanor part. I mean, for example, a person could be out fishing, and you can have a very specific size as to what size you're allowed to keep. And that a fishing violation is a misdemeanor. But I don't have a problem with that because in every one of the instances here, it says the governor may, which means they don't have to automatically do it. They can review each individual case based on the merits of what's there. And so I'm perfectly comfortable with the way this is written. So with that being said, Mr. Chair, I will remove my objection on this bill.
If there's no further objection, the objection has been removed, and
we have the CS.
We have the CS for that, and
that's the one we moved was the CS.
Yeah, we moved the CS, so this bill will pass from the committee with individual recommendations. And Representative Grunberg?
No, that was the motion to adopt the CS. We need a motion to move the bill now.
Right. Would you make the motion, Representative?
I move the bill with accompanying fiscal notes, if any, with the individual recommendations.
Okay. With that, HB 237 will move, and I'd like to thank the committee. In particular, I'd like to thank Representative Grunberg for bringing the need for this legislation forward. We'll meet Thursday. On Thursday's agenda, so far we have run a 24-hour rule now, but so far on Thursday we'll be hearing HB 47, which is a firefighter / EMT license plate and tuition, and HBR 2, a constitutional amendment for no gaming without voter approval.
This one might be
And there's a possibility that we may waive out HB 47 depending on the wishes of individual committee members individually and as a group.
What is that?
That's HB 47, firefighter, EMT, license plate, and tuition. Did any other business to come before the committee this morning or comments? Two good bills this morning. I'm very happy with this committee. And
Mr. Chair, thank you for your leadership on this Regents bill, too.
Thank you, Reverend Grunberg. The House State Affairs Committee is closed, efficient, as usual, at about 9:47 p.m., and thank you, everybody.
My mom has letters, show us.
It's hilarious.
What letter?
Sound test testing. Whoa, that's kind of loud.
Those are loud.
Shrink.
Yeah, Peggy's voice is pretty soft, but look at how far away I am, and I could hear feedback.